side, and time is ticking by, and I can feel an explosion inside, as in the days of Noah, as in the days of Noah, do we drinking, marrying, laughing, as in the days of Noah, what a fool they say, to build a boat on sand, what a fool they say. Remember this first, that many, many, many scoffers will come, and when the rain starts falling, it's too late, it's too late. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late, it's too late. As in the days of Noah, it's never rain. Get ready, Jesus is coming, and many, 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 many scoffers will rise in that day, and they'll say, it's never rained before, it's never rained before, it's never rained before, it's never rained before, it's never rained, rain, go away, hide me from the rest of the land. When the rain starts falling, it's too late, it's too late. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late, it's too late. And when the rain starts falling, it's too late, it's too late.
Greetings and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Sean, and the website is www.scriptureandprophecy.com. And today we're just kind of experimenting to see how the live broadcast goes, and to see just how much work's involved, how much time it takes, see if the quality and the feedback, see what all that's like, and then I'll use that information to decide on whether or not to do more shows like this and in this format. I can't even remember the last time that I actually did full-blown video. I know it's been quite some time. I can tell you this, that the time that's involved and the work that's involved is already more than what I could do on a weekly basis, at least at this point. But maybe bi-weekly or monthly, maybe that's something that's possible. So you'll have to let me know feedback-wise, and we'll kind of go from there. Before I get into my message, I do want to read one scripture, and then we'll be getting into a whole lot of scripture. I do want to say this, I think I've been pretty clear. The goal, at least my goal, at least what I think I've been called to do, is to really call people back to righteousness, to the truth of the Bible, understanding God's perfect law, understanding that God still cares about sin. You know, he hasn't changed his mind about those things. And what we do and how we live actually does matter, contrary to what many people might believe. And but what we need to remember before I get into that is we must remember what our first love is. We must not forget our first love, which is Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, who made it possible for us to become the children of the Most High. You know, I see a lot of people within, like Hebrew Roots movements and movements similar to that. And, you know, they'll teach a lot of truth, but they'll do a whole show, video or podcast, and, you know, for an hour or 2 hours, and never mention the name above all names. The only name under heaven which a man can be saved. You know, the door to the Father and salvation, Jesus the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. You know, Jesus says, you know, let's just look at this. Jesus tells the church of Ephesus, if you go read Revelation chapter 2, let me just read you five verses real quick here before we get into our information. And he says, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot bear them which are evil, and how thou'st tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them to be liars, and hast borne, and hast patience for my namesake, and hast labored, and is not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove the candlestick out of his place, except that he repent." And so, you know, while we focus a lot on, we spend a lot of time focusing on what it looks like to live out your Christian walk. And we have to, because it's not being taught anywhere else. You know, a very perverse version of grace is being taught in the church today, which is why we focus so much on that. But at the same time, while you're focusing on being obedient and following Jesus, let's not forget that he is our first love and that salvation comes through him. With that said, you know, last week, we had a few people complaining that my messages were promoting a works-based salvation. You always have those people when you teach these type of things. And they'll come and they'll regurgitate New Age Christianity, and they'll be saying, you know, it's grace by faith, not by works, right? That's their favorite line. And while that is true, and I think, I've never, ever, ever really strayed from the truth that salvation is a free gift to those who believe, and a call upon the name of the Lord, who have put their belief, their faith in Jesus. Although we should probably talk at some point what faith actually is, what grace actually is, but nonetheless, sometimes I just want to grab some of these people and by the shoulders and to shake them and say, you know, would you just wake up? Did you even listen to the podcast? You know, I'll see the comments and I'm like, did you even listen to what I said? More importantly, did you even listen to the scriptures that I quoted you? You know, when are you going to graduate from Christianity 101 and start eating some real meat? And that's what I keep trying to get across. But you're always going to have those people that they don't hear the whole message. They don't hear the scriptures. They only hear the part that challenges their, preconceived notions, preconceived ideas, and then you end up with those type of comments. I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 5, verses 8 through 14, and I'll try to put this up for you guys to see. And it says, here, let me get mine. I'm still trying to get organized here. It says, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the first time ye ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. This is what I'm getting at. It's like, you know, you should be teachers by now, but you need to be taught the first principles, the first oracles of God. That's what Paul's saying here. And are become such have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. You know, it's... we're talking about the basics. You know, you believe, you're saved. Great. That's great. Now, how do you live in light of what's been done for you? What do the scriptures say? You know, I'm trying to show you the difference between the remnant of God, who will be protected in the last days, versus the rest of Christianity. I realize this is unpopular, but you'll notice when I do these teachings, anybody who's been listening to my podcast for longer than 5 minutes knows that I always give a plethora of scripture to back up what I'm saying. I don't just come up here with an opinion. I read scripture. That's why the website's called Scripture and Prophecy. You know, I'm trying to show you the difference between the wise and the foolish virgins. You know, it's like people are blinded to the truth in the scriptures and what they actually say. And they're unable to be heard by so many because all truth for them is found in their favorite pet doctrines, traditions of men, found within organized Christianity. And maybe that's why Jesus repeatedly said, to those who have an ear to hear, listen to what the Spirit says unto the churches. Let's go back to our scriptures here. It says this in the book of James. Even so, faith. By the way, I'm just reading the scriptures, okay? This is not my opinion. This is what the Word of God says. Even so, faith that it hath not works is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God. Thou dost well. The devil also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou hath faith wrought with his works, and works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. Yea, see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise, also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. These are not my opinions, friends. I'm reading the scriptures right out of the Bible. What you do matters because what you do demonstrates what you actually believe. You know, it's faith, right? But true faith produces fruit. I don't have the scriptures in front of me, but what does Jesus say? You know, a tree that bears bad food, you know, it gets cut down and it's cast into the fire. I mean, those of you, you know, maybe that do some backyard farming or whatever, when you'd have a tree, we had a tree die out in the front yard, and you know what we did? We cut it down, burned it. It's worthless now. It's useless. It doesn't bear fruit. Folks, it's pretty simple. James is not saying that you earn salvation. He's saying, I'll show you my faith by what I actually do. Now, we're going to be talking about the wise and foolish virgins. And I've been over this parable time and time again. You can go to the YouTube channel and just search for it. I mean, I've done plenty of teachings on this. But let's look at it again today, maybe with some fresh eyes and some fresh ideas. I should give some credit to Jim Staley because I saw a video of his and I saw some of the proverbs that he pointed out that kind of added to the foundation of my belief already, regardless of what you may think of him. And maybe I'll link to his teaching on this subject on the website or something along those lines. If I forget to do that, please remind me. But before I do that, I do want to go and read 2 Corinthians here, because we have to first identify, you know, who the virgins are, right? What does that mean? Before we can understand what makes some of them foolish and what makes some of them wise. So let's start with that. First, you know, Paul says, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as chaste virgins to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." When we hear the word virgin, we're not talking about, oh, this person has never been intimate before. What we're dealing with here is, you know, these are people without spot or blemish, meaning they are committed, dedicated to Christ only, right? They're betrothed to him. They're engaged to him. They're not chasing. There's no compromise within them. They're engaged to Christ, and they're not fooling around, if you will, with the world and other gods, etc. They love Messiah and him alone. That's what it's talking about. You see, the same type of talk when you're dealing with 144,000 in the book of Revelation. They're all virgins, right? Meaning the same thing. Without spot or blemish. They're committed. They're dedicated. They're betrothed. They're not compromised. They're not fooling around. That's what we're getting at here. That's what Paul's talking about. I want to present you as chaste virgins to Christ, right? So now that we know what the virgin is, in this context, we need to take a look at the parable of the 10 virgins. I would suggest to you that all these people are believers. They're all virgins, like we just discussed. You'll notice when we read the parable, they're all waiting on Messiah, right? All 10 of them. They're waiting for Messiah. They all have the same goal. They're all virgins. They're all believers. They're all waiting on Christ, okay? This is not, you know, saved people and unsaved people. It's not what we're dealing with here. The foolish virgins are not non-believers, as some may suggest. So let's start by reading the whole parable, because text without context is a pretext to make it mean whatever you want. So let's go to Matthew chapter 25, and let's read this. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins." Right off the bat, context is there for us. This is about the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom, okay? This is the whole point. "Which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom." Okay, all of them are going forth to meet the bridegroom. Verse 2. "And 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him." Verse 7. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. Okay, they're all waiting on the same person. Verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they went. And they that were ready went in with him into the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. You know, I think there's three major points that we need to understand right off the get-go, because a lot of times we'll get caught up in what's the oil, what's the lamps. Let's start with the three major obvious points, okay? Number one, it has to do with the kingdom and entering into the kingdom, right? It's very clear some are entering into the marriage and some are not. They're all virgins. They're all waiting for Christ. They're all believers. I would say they're all saved individuals, meaning none of them are going to face eternal damnation in hell. But this is about entering in to the kingdom. This is about being part of the bride. This is about inheritance, these types of things. Point number two, some are preparing themselves and some are not. Right? Some took oil, some didn't. Some are in an intimate relationship with Christ and following him closely. This is why he says, I never knew you. It's not, I don't know you, like, I don't know who you are, right? There's a lot of people I know, like, I know who they are. I know their name, might know where they work, you know, might know their parents, but I don't know them. Same word is used in the Greek when the angel Gabriel shows up talking to Mary and says, hey, you're going to have the Christ child. And she says, how is this possible? I've never known a man. It's a picture of intimacy. What Jesus is saying here is, I don't know you intimately. That's what he's saying. Third point, the overall theme, the big picture is, be ready. Why? Because you know neither the day nor the hour that the Son of Man cometh. So you need to be ready now. I would propose to you, what happens is the bridegroom tarries and they all slumber and sleep. Then there's a shout, right? We know that imagery, right? If you study the Bible, there's a shout. The bridegroom cometh, everybody rises. And they're just not prepared to go. They're not ready. They're not ready. And so, you know, that's the big difference between the wise and the foolish. And there's no way for them to get ready in time, right? Because whatever it is that needs to be done, that they need to do to prepare themselves, they're unable to do once it happens. It's too late. They can't go do whatever that is. Okay? They say, the wise say, go buy for yourselves, and they go out to try to get it, but when they come back, the door's already closed. The wise have already entered in. So why does Christ say to some? Why does he call some foolish? Why does he say, I don't know you? We already covered that. You know, some of you are going to reject this and some of you won't. Many within churchianity will not like the definition of what it means to be wise and what it means to be foolish. But it's the Word of God, whether you like it or not. So let's start nailing down some scriptures. Let the scriptures tell us what it means to be wise. And see if it speaks to our hearts. I have a few short proverbs to read to you. That talk about what the lamp is, what the light is, and what it means to be wise. It's really very simple. It's what I've been talking about this whole time with this whole remnant conversation. So let's begin and let's dig through a few scriptures and see where we fall on all of this. Psalm 119:105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So we have an emphasis on the word of God being the lamp. Next scripture. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp. Again, we're dealing with the word of God. His laws is the lamp. And the law is a light, it says. And reproofs of instructions are the way of life. Proverbs 21:20. There is treasure to be desired and oil in the dwelling of the wise. But a foolish man spendeth it up. The wise have the oil. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Isn't that interesting? You know, you'll see this within the attitude of a lot of people. If you say, hey, this is God's desire for us, we should walk in this, walk in this way, walk in this light. The wise will say, I want to do that because I want to be close to God. I fear God. I want to walk as closely with Him as possible. Give me the instruction, right? That's wisdom. The fool says, but do I have to do that to be saved? Right? You guys know what I'm talking about. You run into these people. I haven't had a chance to look at the comments here. I'm sorry that the volume is low. I don't know what else to do. It's coming through very clearly on this end. And we're kind of maxed out on volume. I can raise it a little bit. Hopefully that's coming through a little bit better for you guys. But then that means podcast listeners, you're going to have to turn down your car stereo because it's about to get really, really loud. Hopefully that's an improvement. Let me know in the comments. But the wise, you know, the wise will receive that with open arms because their desire is to do the things that God desires to do, that God desires for them. Their desire is to walk in that. The fool will say, do I have to do that to be saved? That sounds like legalism. They'll make excuses to not do what God has said to do. Do you see the big difference? This isn't complicated, folks. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. This is very, very, very clear, the difference between the wise and the foolish. I appreciate you guys being in the comments here. Hopefully everything, again, we're just testing this out. Hopefully it's coming through okay. Hopefully the video is coming through okay. Just let me know if there's some improvement being made. Volume is much better, thanks. All right, great. Great. Thanks for being in the comments. I appreciate you guys. I was curious to see, you know, how many would actually turn out for the live show. And the thing is, though, unless you listened to the last podcast, you wouldn't even know that this was happening because I didn't promote it on social media. I didn't send out an email or anything. I didn't want it to be overwhelmed because I didn't know, you know, I didn't know how things were going to play out. Also, if you're listening to this via podcast, it's probably a lot louder on your end right now because you're getting the feed a completely different way. so you may just have to turn down your radio. I apologize for that. Let's move back to going through some of our scriptures here. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, chapter 8. Let's read 5 verses here. Starting with verse 5. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by perpetual backsliding? In other words, they just keep falling back. They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and I heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned his course as a horse rusheth into battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and a turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming, but my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Man, that sounds like the culture I live in today. They just don't know the judgment of the Lord. They don't. You say we need to repent. They say, what? What have we done? Because they don't know the word. Verse 8. How do you say we are wise? And the law of the Lord is with us. Lo, certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken low. They have rejected the word of the Lord and what wisdom is in them. He's saying they don't know the word, that they're backslidden. They think they're wise. And God is saying, what wisdom is in you? You have rejected the word of the Lord. What wisdom is there to be found in you? People, I'm telling you. There's no wisdom if you don't know God's ways. And the only way to know God's ways is to live in His word. You have to live in it regularly, daily. I don't know how people function in the world, especially with as wicked as it's gotten. As out of control as it's become, as disgusting and filthy as it's gotten, I don't understand how anybody survives in this world and keeps their faith if they're not living in the world, in the word, which is probably why so many Christians are worldly today. And they think they're wise, and God is saying, you're backslidden. You don't even know what wisdom is because you've rejected the truth. You've rejected the word of the Lord. Your response when you say, don't do this, or live like this, or act this way, you know, change your mind about these things, repent, your response is, grace, I don't have to do... I don't know how many times I can say the same thing, but that's what it's like. It's like a parrot. I hear a parrot over and over and over and over and over when I talk to people about these kind of things. Let's go back to the scriptures here. Psalm 111:10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Folks, this is what the word says. It can't be any more clear. Here's the difference between the foolish and the wise. The wise know God's word. They fill up on it. They live it out. They fear God. The foolish, they don't fear God. They reject His truths and His word. They don't do His commandments. It's that simple. The word is very, very clear. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. How much more clear? How much more clear could it be? I know this isn't popular, which is just... the Word of God is not popular in the church anymore. Plain and simple. And I find it heartbreaking because we are a generation that has access, more access to the Word, better access to the Word than any other generation in the history of the world. What other generation has had such easy access to God's Word? Not only God's Word, but we can go look at the original language. We have the tools to learn the original language. We have so many tools at our hands. Bibles galore. I mean, what is the average? I have a lot of Bibles, but I would say the average household has at least a handful, a couple. Yet there's a famine in the land, a famine of God's word. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 12. Now, this is a rabbit hole here that maybe one day I'll go down, but I just want to focus on one thing that has to do with our conversation about what it means to be foolish and wise. Daniel, talking about the last days, starting in verse 1, says this: "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book." He's referring to the book of life, I believe. Verse 2. "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake." This is talking about the resurrection. "Some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt." Verse 3. "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." There's wisdom in turning people to righteousness. And then he goes on to say, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up these words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased." The rabbit hole is, what book did Daniel shut up the words, and how did he do it? And when is it going to be revealed? That, my friends, is definitely a rabbit hole that we could go down. And maybe one day I will, because I find that fascinating, especially when you're dealing with the Hebrew language and some of the discoveries we've made with the Dead Sea Scrolls. And I'll just give you this little nugget to chew on. What's interesting is the Paleo Hebrew, which you see on the screen here. If you're looking at me at the very top, or I guess it'd be this side, you see this is Paleo Hebrew, the Aleph and the Ta, or Tal. It's the first letter and the last letter, the beginning and the end, dealing with the alphabet. If you guys are interested in this stuff, I need to know about it, because I'd be happy to create videos about these things and the Hebrew language and what some of this means, and how there's, by the way, tens and tens and tens of thousands of this right here in your Bible that's never translated into English. Very first line. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. This is in there, very first line, not translated in English. Some interesting things. Then down here is Yod, He, Vav, He in Paleo Hebrew. It was written like this. There's a lot of scrolls that are really old that were found in the Dead Sea Scrolls, where there's complete books written in this. It's believed that what we can think of as modern Hebrew happened about the time of Daniel in the Babylonian captivity. You do what you will with that. I just find that interesting and fascinating and worth studying. This has been kind of all over the place because... this is the first time I'm trying. It's really hard to watch the chat and make sure everything's still streaming live, pull up the presentation and go back and forth and all that. But it's been an interesting time. I hope that I've made myself clear with the 10 wise and 10 foolish virgins. You know, let's go back and review our main points here. The main point of the parable, you know, we can spend all day trying to decipher some of the things, but again, it's about entering into the kingdom. It's the difference is some prepared, some didn't. when we go and we look at the Old Testament, when we look at the Proverbs and the Psalms, and when we see what the light is, and you know what the lamp is, which is God's word, and when it talks about wisdom and the difference between foolish and wise, the wise are the ones who receive God's commandments, receive God's instructions, who dig into his word. The foolish are those who don't receive correction, don't receive instruction. They don't know his word. Like in the book of Jeremiah, they're backslidden. We're telling them, repent, and they say, for what? Right? They don't get it because they don't know God's word. They think they're wise, but they're not. And the third point of the parable is be ready. Be ready because he's coming at a time when you are not aware. He says, because you know neither the day nor the hour where the Son of Man cometh. So be ready. Always be ready. You know, there's the parable where this, kind of along the same scenario, right? And in this parable here, the bridegroom delays and everybody falls asleep. And then five were still ready and five weren't. He does another parable about how one servant realizes that his master's delaying and he decides to drink with the drunkards. Right? He goes back to the world. Remember that parable? And he loses it. He loses it all. I think this is the warning here. Don't think, well, he's delayed. He's not coming anytime soon. I'll go back. I'll go back to the world. That's foolish. That's foolish. We need to remember the old ways and remember the old paths. Because God never changes, and his instructions haven't changed. His idea of what's good and what's evil has not changed. None of that has changed. And so let me leave you with this. Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah again, chapter 6. Let me make sure I've got it. There you go. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And if you go read chapter 6, it's a sad story. I don't want to be like these guys. I want to stand in the ways and seek the old paths where the good way is. Right? Just look at our culture. Don't we just wish we could go back a few decades and say, hey, let's go back to when we weren't so far off track, when we weren't so out of our minds as a nation. God's saying, hey, go back to the old ways, the old paths where the good way is, and walk therein. And you know, what churchianity is saying is, hey, let's, you know, we have to relate to our new culture. And, you know, it's all about, you know, it's new age teaching. God's saying, nope, the way to life, the way to rest is to go back to the old paths where the good ways are. Are you wise or are you foolish? And I hope that I made that clear, the difference. Also hope I made it clear at the beginning, and if those of you came in kind of late, I reiterated that, and maybe I need to reiterate this too, because we're talking about walking in God's ways. This is the difference between the foolish and the wise, very clearly. And if you missed a lot of this, it'll be uploaded. The way I understand this should, as soon as I close this out, it should eventually be up on YouTube. Either way, it'll be on SoundCloud into the podcast. We're talking about walking in God's ways, but we need to do that in balance with remembering our first love, which is Jesus Christ, because there's no salvation outside of belief in him, faith in him. He died for us. He was the Passover lamb. His blood was shed to pay the penalty for our sins. But here's the thing, and this is going to be a terrible analogy, but I'll try to do the best I can. If you go out one night and you're just reckless, you're drinking and driving and you're blowing stoplights and stop signs and double parking and all these terrible things, and since we live in surveillance state, which is a whole nother rabbit trail I could go on with the Book of Daniel, by the way, because Daniel talks about all the eyes. I'll let you research that yourself. Now I'm getting myself distracted. And you break all those laws, and you know the next morning you get a bill. Thousands of dollars, you can't pay it, right? And they say, pay it or go to jail. And then I come along and say, you know what, I'm going to pay this for you, and it's going to be a great expense to me. I pay your bill. Not only that, I pay so much that you'll, even if you mess up tomorrow, it's still paid for, right? The penalty's paid. That's basically the situation we find ourselves in because of Jesus, right? But if you go out tomorrow, even though I've paid the price for you, and you break the traffic laws, did those laws disappear? No, it's still illegal, right? It's still reckless and dangerous to do that. You might hurt somebody or hurt yourself. Just because the penalty's been paid for you doesn't mean it's a good idea to go out there. It's foolish. I know that's a terrible analogy. I hope I'm making my point there. But Jesus is our first love, and we cannot forget that. That's why he tells the church of Ephesus, like we discussed at the beginning of the show, remember therefrom whence thou hast fallen, and repent, and do the first works. Remember thy first love. Because like I said, I see so many who speak about the same things that I do. That was a bunch of stuff falling. Don't worry about it. Hang on a second.
Everything's good.
My wife just came in here and wanted to know what that big loud noise was. Before I started the live broadcast, I had a big old light kit and background kit set up, but it didn't look right, so I put it back in the closet and it just fell. And that's where all that noise came from. This is why I don't like to do live shows, because you just never know what's going to happen. And weird things can happen, and then you lose your train of thought like I just did. But we need to not, we need to remember that our first love is Jesus. And because we love him, because Jesus said, if you love me, you obey me. If you love me, you obey me. And so we do these things and we walk in God's ways because we're wise and because we want to be closer to him, because we want to be obedient, and because we love him. This is how we demonstrate that. When people come to you and they see that you're doing things like that are especially contrary to what modern day Christianity teaches. Let me give you an example. Maybe you observe the Sabbath, right? Friday night, you stop working. And you say, I'm going to relax. I'm going to rest. What's funny is they'll say, you're in bondage. And you're like, what? I'm in bondage. I'm just resting. I'm doing what God said to do because it's a good idea for me to take a day of rest. People will look at you strangely. If you say, I'm not going to eat pork because, you know, God tells us very clearly, people will freak out on you. Don't let that steer you from doing what you believe is the right thing to do in being obedient to Christ and being obedient to God and following him. Because it can get very, very discouraging out there. You know, Jesus said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness, right? Although you'll hear many people quoted as blessed are those who are persecuted. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. When you live righteously, when you walk in righteousness, people are not going to take too kindly to that, especially if you're doing things that, especially like those two things that I just mentioned, people will go nuts about those things within the church, because to them that's legalism, but to you it's love. And I don't know where I'm going with this other than to say I understand that that can be really hard in our Christian cultures and our Christian circles to do these things and to walk in obedience like that. But don't let it discourage you. Don't let it discourage you. Keep it up, because that's the difference between the wise and the foolish. The wise, even if they don't have it all right, and we don't have it all figured out, we're getting so many things wrong, we're misunderstanding so many things, but our heart and desire is to serve Him to the best of our ability. And that's because we fear Him and we believe He's coming soon. That's wisdom. That is wisdom. It's foolish. It's so foolish to go out there and just be like, well, you know, I just want to have a happy life and enjoy the world and do worldly things and, you know, grace this, grace that, and, you know, I've the freedom of this. That's not, you're in bondage. You're in bondage to the world. Those who are serving God are the ones free. They're free from all of this bondage that the world puts on you, because we're not interested in those things. That's wisdom, folks. All right, at this point, I'm just regurgitating the same thing over and over and over. You know, that you hear, let me just make this last point, which is just regurgitating the same thing, but you'll hear, well, love God with your whole heart and mind and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the whole commandments. You don't have to worry about anything else. Well, the first one's love God with all your heart and soul. And God told us how to love Him. If you love Me, obey Me. It's not a salvific issue, but it sure is a kingdom issue. It sure is an inheritance issue. It sure is a getting close to God issue. It sure is a difference between five wise and five foolish issue. It's a difference between entering into the marriage supper and not entering into the marriage supper. Folks, it's not a socialist government. It's a kingdom. Everybody doesn't just come in and be the same. There's going to be people ruling, reigning. There's going to be people that aren't. Do you want to just be, you know, you'll hear people say, I just want to be saved. And, you know, even if I'm, you know, sweeping the streets or living in a sewer in heaven, you know, and I'm like, really? Is that what you want? Because that's not what I want. I want to be close to God. I want to rule and reign. I want to, you know, I don't want to get there and say, like Esau, like a foolish man, I traded my inheritance for a piece of meat, for a bowl of soup. That's foolish. Very, very foolish. All right, guys, that's all I got today. This is the longest podcast I've done in a while. I hope you enjoyed the full video. It's the first time I've done it live like this in years. I did live shows back when I was doing news 4 years ago, 5 years ago. It's been a long time. This is the first time I've done the teaching live, and make sure you let me know what you think about it. Like I said, I can't commit to doing this every week. It's just too much work. And it's not that I'm not willing to do the work. It's the time issue, because I don't get to do this full time, unfortunately. And I'm praying for the day that that'll happen, but it's not today. And so I'll try to work this in when I can. And, you know, I thought we were going to get through this without any weird things happening, but stuff falling in the closet. You know, this is the beauty of live, being live. And so anyway, that's all I got for you. I'll try to do some more stuff coming up soon, maybe short videos. Maybe we'll talk about the Aleph Tav. Maybe we'll talk about the Paleo Hebrew. And maybe we'll talk about the Yod-Heh Vav-Heh. Got some interesting things to share with you about that and about the Dead Sea Scrolls. And there's some really cool stuff out there. And this is the stuff that we, you know, this is the kind of stuff that I get into, you know, discovering, you know, God says that that it's His desire to conceal a thing, conceal a matter. And it's the, I'm butchering this, but it's the joy of kings to seek a thing out. And, you know, God has concealed a lot of stuff because He wants you to dig. He wants you to desire His truth so much that you're searching and you're searching and you're praying and you're even fasting because you desire God's word that much. Wisdom. Wisdom, wisdom, wisdom. I gotta get off here. Peace and grace be with all of you, and until next time, God bless.